Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, it's my delight to be able to invite back a good friend, Dr. Phil Giuliotti. Phil was with us a few years ago and kind of told us his story and the amazing things God was doing in him and through him in his medical practice. He's now retired, but he's engaged fully in the mission of the church, really, in the Great Commission and reaching out to others. He's got a real gift for communicating the gospel. And I asked Phil to come back and join us to both to help us unpack some of the beginnings of the book of Revelation, which we'll start to do tomorrow on Tuesday, because I asked Phil to share with us his testimony. Welcome back, Phil.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so I think many of the listeners may not have heard you a number of years ago when you were with us, and I wonder if you could just share with us your conversion story, basically.
Okay, sure. I was just shy of being 44 years old when I came to know the Lord, when I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit, who then showed me Jesus. Yeah. And on a certain night in early 1995, my whole life changed. And, you know, the New Testament always talks about metanoia, change of direction of your mind, change, you know, walking in one direction, now you're walking in another direction. And my direction changed so much that people who knew me said, how long have you been doing this kind of stuff? You didn't used to do this before. Yeah. You weren't talking like this 2 weeks ago when I saw you.
Help our friends understand what you were like before, the before.
I was very happy. I've always been very happy. I didn't have a great childhood, so I became very independent because my parents couldn't really do anything for me. And so I paid my way through college, and I borrowed money, and I got married pretty early on to my high school sweetheart, and she worked part-time jobs, and I worked part-time jobs, and we got through medical school and internship and residency, which was, you know, about 8 years of never being home. I mean, never being home, and had a baby in the meantime. And so she was always very faithful. You know her well. She's, I call her my very Catholic wife. She's a very faithful Polish Catholic, and I was a pretty unfaithful Italian Catholic. And so I was raised, you know, went to PSR probably 2-3 years.
What's PSR?
Parish School of Religion, okay. Catechism.
Catechism, yeah.
Whatever. We used to call it catechism. Yeah. Did the sacraments. Then when I was done with confirmation, I said, oh, great, I'm done. I don't have to deal with this anymore. And so went to college thinking I don't have to worry about that anymore. Then I had a friend freshman year who kept saying, I'm going to go to Mass. Do you want to come? And I'd say, no. And he'd say, oh, yeah, come on, why don't you come? And I'd say, yeah, I really don't want to. Oh, come on, why don't you come? So most of the time I went, and then my girlfriend, now wife, came later and said, we're going Sunday at 10 o'clock. And I would say, no, you're going Sunday at 10 o'clock. Anyway, so then we went, we were married about 20 years when I had my experience. And I went to Mass pretty much all the time. I mean, there were some Sundays. I mean, I had a 70, 80-hour a week work day, and Sunday mornings were hospital work and driving around to nursing homes. And you know, I would normally go to Mass and get dragged there, and I would tell the kids, you have to go today so she stays off my back. Once you're 18, you don't have to go anymore. That was my spiritual teaching. that was my home church teaching, I like to say. And so then on Sundays, driving home from church, we always would argue. I'd say, I can't believe I just wasted an hour there with those losers and those hypocrites and those weaklings, and you know, they should be working somewhere Sunday morning, not doing that. So Sunday used to be my least favorite day of the week because of that. There was always like this tension. So in early 1995, I was driving to the hospital. It was early in the morning, driving over Interstate 480, for those of you who know Cleveland. And I was flipping radio channels because all I did was listen to rock and roll, and I knew everything there was to know about rock and roll. And so I came upon a Christian station, I thought by accident, and I heard this guy, you know, and he was talking, and I said, oh, you know, here's one of these preachers, and he's bilking little old ladies out of money, and he belongs to the country club, his wife's probably there today, and he's got a $5 million house, and I changed the station. All that went through my head in like a second. And then I felt something inside of me say, put him back and listen to what he's saying. And I did. problem is I didn't understand what he was saying. And the next day I put him on purposely. So I listened to him over a period of a week or two. And then he starts going through these lessons about the temple in Jerusalem and the sacrifices, the lamb, and how your sin was transferred to the lamb. And then the Levitical priest cut the animal's throat, sprinkled the blood. Your sin was covered by that blood. And then he asked the question that changed my life. And the question is, still is, what did that lamb have to do with the fact that you sinned? And at this point, I'm clutching my steering wheel, and I say, nothing. And he says, nothing. And I said, oh, that's Jesus. No wonder they call him the Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. And I thought they called him the Lamb of God because he was nice.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, Jesus was nice.
By nothing, you meant to say that historical lamb in the Old Testament, that animal.
Yes, the animal.
What did that have to do? That could not cover your sin. And
that's
it had nothing
right.
to do with you,
right.
But it was a prefiguring
of
Jesus, the Lamb of God.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, everything in the Torah with the blood of atonement prefigures what Messiah Jesus was going to do. And like he said, all the scrolls are about me. He didn't say some of the scrolls or part of this one and part of this one. He said all the scrolls are about me. And so that prefigured the fact that all the sins of the world were laid on him as he was dying. I mean, we'll never understand that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get off into a teaching thing. That's one of my favorite things to talk about is the agony in the garden mm-hmm. and the cup of judgment. But I understood finally that my sin had to somehow be transferred to him. And so, you know, I was kind of a scientific guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd been through science and engineering curriculum, just science and math. We, you know, had like two electives all of my college. It was just rigorous. So I thought everything could be deduced by some equation or some natural law. So for a couple of weeks, I was thinking about this night and day. I mean, as you know, I never sleep. So I'd be walking mm-hmm. around the house trying to think, you know, who was Jesus and what did he do? You know, who is Jesus? What was he thinking about when he did this? And I tried to put myself in his mind. So one day, it was February of 95, walking through the snow in a little woods near my house, which is now part of a housing development, so somebody's front yard or backyard.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit opened my mind and showed me who Jesus was, what he did for me by dying on the cross, how his blood was the atonement for my sin, and that I was a hopeless sinner, and I had to turn to him and repent. So I literally turned to him and repented. And over a period of, I don't know if it was 20 minutes or it was an hour or if it was 3 seconds, because time just blurred, I was confessing all these things I had done and all these things. And, you know, like people say, well, I've never killed anybody, but, you know, I never killed anybody, but, you know, plenty of people do all kind of things. And so I felt like this huge rock was lifted off me. And I said, wow, I never felt like this before. Wow, this is great. And then I was looking around, and I was on my knees, and I was all wet because the snow was melting. It was late February, and my jeans were all wet. My shirt was all wet. So I think I was, like, rolling around in the snow. I really don't remember. And I said to myself, I want to be in your kingdom. I want to be in your kingdom. I didn't even know what that meant, mm-hmm. but I was saying it over and over again. I want to be in your kingdom. And then I looked around, and in front of me, I saw the wood of the cross, the lower part of the cross, and I saw blood running down the wood. And it was so real that I put my hand out because I wanted to touch it. Mm-hmm. And then it disappeared, and the first thing I remember seeing was my hand. And I looked at my hand, and I thought, what am I doing? What happened to me? And I looked around, and it was this beautiful night. The stars were shining, and so I ran home. I just had this amazing experience. And I said to my wife, wow, you know, Jesus is really the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's my Savior. He forgave my sins. And she says, I've been telling you that for 20 years. And I said, yes, but now I know it. I just met him. The next thing that happened was I went from, you know, drag me to Mass on Sunday morning to, oh, Friday night, I want to go hear this guy talk, and Saturday morning, I want to go to this place, and Sunday morning, I want to go to this, and Sunday night, they're having a conference over there. And she's like, what in it? Wait, how are you going to all these different, you know, all these different places? Because I just was so excited about it, And I got into studying the Word, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit put me in the Torah. And I couldn't figure that why. I couldn't figure out why. It was hard to understand. She got me a sixth grade catechism book.
Your wife Joan did.
Yes, about the Old Testament. So that I could understand. I couldn't understand Augustine or Aquinas, but I could understand the sixth grade book. Yeah. So I made so many notes, and I would pray and study. And as I came to various verses, I would just tear up and start to weep because I didn't understand any of this before. And the Holy Spirit would show me why mm-hmm. this is important
yeah.
and how this points to Jesus and what he did.
Yeah, you know, Phil, I think one of the things that's so, just as you're describing the unfolding of grace, really, in your life, you know, we're in this season between Easter and Pentecost, and Jesus told the apostles to wait.
Yes.
Even though he gave them 3 years of personal formation, best catechesis and Bible study ever
yes.
for 3 years, you know, directly from him. But he said, you still need to wait. You're not ready.
Yes.
And I will clothe you with power from on high.
Yes.
And he said, I will give you the Spirit who's going to lead you to all truth. He'll bring to memory everything. He'll give you everything basically that is mine, and he will help you.
Yes.
And this extraordinary gift of the Spirit, as you were describing, you might say the anatomy of a conversion,
mm-hmm.
that grace, there was a moment of grace in your life, and at the heart of it was a revelation of both your sinfulness before the Holy God,
mm-hmm.
but also the love and mercy of Jesus
yes.
and his dying for you and the meaning of that. And then the Holy Spirit starts putting, you said you weren't even sure why, but you started saying, I want to be in your kingdom.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit's giving you conviction of the kingship of Jesus
Amen.
And the
yes.
kingdom that's present on earth in the church and, yes. and longing to be a part of it all.
Yes.
And then hungering for the Word of God and then yes. sharing it with others. It's just, that is really the work of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit has come to do.
Yes.
And to see, draw us to communion with other
yes.
people,
yeah.
to draw us to the mission of Jesus, which mm-hmm. you fully engaged. And we just have a little over a minute left. I wonder if you just want to share whatever other thoughts you have you'd like to share with us
about
it.
Then I got to witnessing the gospel to everybody, and I would tell people, when you leave here, you might think I'm a crazy old man, but I don't care, because yeah. I honestly don't care what people
yeah.
think of me.
Yeah.
My mission is to tell them the gospel. If they want to think I'm crazy, that's fine.
Yeah.
And to teach the Word. You know, especially in the Catholic Church, there's a lot of people that don't really get into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And when you explain the passages of Scripture, people get amazed.
Yeah.
Because like John Paul said, when the Holy Spirit moves, it leaves people amazed.
Yeah.
And so we have this tremendous treasure of the Word that the Holy Spirit breathed out, the 2 Timothy 3:16. And when you explain passages of Scripture to people and what the meaning is and the power of it, they're amazed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so, what I love to do.
Yeah. It's so good.
So it's led to a lot of things. You know, I have a radio show in Cleveland and various ministries and a Bible study just about every night and
yeah.
two on Sundays. And I mean, it's just.
Yeah. You are so passionate. You found your groove.
Yeah.
The gift that the Lord has given. But thanks for yeah. being with us. The show goes by so fast.
Yeah.
Phil's going to be with us tomorrow. Dr. Phil will be with us tomorrow. And friends, I just wanted to say before we close, if you're listening today and you're saying, I just don't know the Lord in any way like Dr. Phil was describing, and that the Lord sent the Spirit to be able to make it possible for us to see God. Because without God's help, we can't see God. Without
Amen.
God's help, we can't love God. And he loves you, and he wants you to just open your heart to him and encourage you to just ask him in very simple terms, Lord, show me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Show me who I am in you. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.